All right, welcome everybody. Sorry for the technical glitch there. We'll get that ironed out for Thursday's part two. But I'd just like to welcome everybody to this webcast, Managing Projects Using the New Microsoft Visual Studio Scrum 1.0 Process Template. The company Accentient, I'm the president of this company, and we are a leader in Visual Studio ALM knowledge. We help our clients understand and implement Visual Studio ALM, not just the tools, but the process and practice around that. We have a close working relationship with Microsoft. In fact, we gave a lot of feedback to the team developing the Scrum template. So if you don't like how some things are named or how some things work, I'll take part of that blame. Our consultants are all Microsoft MVPs or regional directors, certified Scrum developers, professional Scrum developers, and Microsoft certified trainers. You can learn more about the company at that link at the bottom. And my name, Rich Hunhausen. I'm an author of software development books and an MVP on Visual Studio ALM. I'm also a professional Scrum developer, which means in the last couple of years I've worked closely with Microsoft and Ken Schwaber to help build this professional Scrum developer program. And one of the outputs of that has been convincing Microsoft of the need for better support of Scrum in their tools. And this template and the reports and the queries you're about to see is part of that. There's my email address. Feel free to write that down. There'll be some contact information at the end as well. The agenda. In part one, we're going to just take a few minutes and level set on our understanding of Scrum, at least the high-level principles, the framework itself, the roles, the time boxes, and the artifacts. And then we'll talk mostly about the new Visual Studio Scrum template, how to install it, where to get it, some of the manual steps you need to do to get it working. And then we'll just walk through some of the pieces and the parts, all of this in the form of a demonstration. And I'm going to try to take questions through the Q&A at the top, if you have any questions, or just send them out at the end. We'll try to get about a 10-minute block of time that we can just ask questions and get some answers going back and forth. So real quickly then, I call this Scrum on a slide. It's that familiar-looking Scrum wheel, where you've got the outer loop and the inner loop there. The way Scrum works is it's an iterative approach to managing complex projects, software projects in this case, in which case you break down your complete list of requirements and store them in the product backlog. And this can be anything from an epic to a story to a small little feature to a bug repair, you know, whatever. These go into the product backlog, and then through collaboration between the product owner and the team, these items get sized, estimated, the efforts, the priority is placed in there, and then the team takes on pieces of these of the product backlog each sprint, commits to delivering that functionality and working on it dedicated during that sprint, delivering an increment of done functionality that's potentially shippable. So in that outer loop of the sprint, we have the inner loop of the daily scrum, which is a 15-minute meeting each day where the team synchronizes as what they've done, what they're doing, and if anything's in their way. Then they go back to their desks and they build something. They actually complete work according to the acceptance criteria, according to the definition of done, and then come back and reconvene at the end of the sprint to review those pieces of done functionality. Product owner will accept it, move forward into a sprint retrospective, and then the whole thing starts again. So there's a really good steady flow here, and just talk real briefly about the roles and the time boxes and the artifacts. Again, if we could get people to mute their phones until there's actually a question period, that would be great. Not sure if I can do that to you. Let's see who my attendees are that are not muted. I'm not sure who it is that's making the noise. If you could just mute your phone, that would be great. So we have the product owner, the Scrum Master, and then the team. And all three of those roles are going to have play a part with this this new Scrum template. You know, the product owner pretty much works inside the product backlog, and the product backlog is just a query of work item types. So they're going to be creating work items, managing work items. The Scrum Master, you know, they're going to be working with the team each day to make sure that the rules of Scrum are understood, impediments are identified and hopefully eliminated. And then the team does all the work. They actually develop the done increments of functionality, and they're going to be in there using Visual Studio anyway. So, their integration with the template is very routine as with any other template. We've got the different time boxes here. I don't want to go through these too much, but essentially a time box is a defined begin and end time period where these meetings take place, whether it's a planning meeting for the release or the sprint, the daily scrum, the sprint itself, or the review or retrospective meetings. And a lot of the outputs of these meetings can now be captured inside of Visual Studio. The artifacts then, I love the bottom one there. That's my favorite. Working software. You know, we forget that all of this framework and process and templates and work items, it's all supposed to yield some actual, working software. What are we doing here, right? So this was announced at Microsoft Tech Ed a couple months ago, the Microsoft Visual Studio Scrum 1.0. Some people were a bit confused because a year or two earlier, Microsoft had released the eScrum template for the 2008 version of TFS. And those of you on the line who installed that and used it will know that it was a pretty trying experience. It wasn't very lightweight at all, and it had a lot of moving parts that had to be understood and configured. So Microsoft removed that a year ago, and their recommendation was to use the EMC template, Scrum for Team System. That is one of the other Scrum templates that's out there today, version 3, works with TFS 2010, and there are a couple other Scrum templates in the works in the community. But Microsoft, in cooperation with the Professional Scrum Developer Program, realized they needed a Scrum template that mapped exactly to Scrum. A lot of
Richard, we are not able to hear you.
Test. Am I back? Okay. Sorry about that. I think when I switched over, it lost my microphone.
Okay, it's better now.
Better now. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just giving you a quick tour here. Team Project Collections. I've got this webcast. I'm just going to put this away. We'll come back to that. If you pop into this process templates page, and I've got bookmarks for everything here I'll be giving you. But the process templates page is kind of the landing page for everything process related, process template related, and tool related for TFS 2010. And right here, top center, is the Microsoft Visual Studio Scrum template. To to be fair, this is where you can also scroll down and find other certified process templates. So as third parties in the community come up with templates that map to, you know, other methods, agile or not, you know, or specific, you know, process guidance embedded, they will start to emerge on this page. And it's not just a CodePlex list of projects. These templates listed here have to be, you know, certified, quote unquote. They do no harm. They implement features accordingly. There's training and support for it. So you can't just expect some stray CodePlex projects to end up on this list. So if we go to Microsoft Visual Studio Scrum, this is another bookmark I'll give you here. It takes you to the Visual Studio Gallery, MSDN, and this is where you can download, you know, tools and add-ons and add-ins. Some of them are free and some of them are free trials. This one, of course, is free, and I love it. I've seen 9,500 downloads of this process template. It's very popular. This is also the place you'll go primarily if you want to, you know, post questions or answer questions. So I'm sure we've got some very smart Scrum people on the line here, and you might get in there and say, hey, you know, why is the template doing it this way? You know, and on our team, we like to track XYZ a different way. So just pop over here to Q&A and read through there or ask a question, because you know we're all trying to get this right. You know, sometimes your interpretation of the Scrum guide, my interpretation, can be just a little bit different. But when Microsoft created the Scrum template, they had to just, you know, put it out there and take a chance. And some people liked it and some people disagreed with it. And you'll find the Q&A here has some of that conversation going on. So I'm just going to skew their results a bit here, and I'll download this one more time. Let's drop it here into the Scrum folder. And then we'll pop back over here and we'll get this installed. So the MSI, again, kind of misleading. You think that it's going to install everything for me, but it's just going to put the pieces and parts on my C drive here. C program files. I think this is kind of comical. It puts it into a root folder under program files called Microsoft. As if, you know, there weren't enough Microsoft *** things in there anywhere. So let's go ahead and install this. And really, it's just going to basically decompress those files. And if we go have a look, sort this by date, here's my Microsoft folder. That kills me. And underneath Microsoft Studio Scrum, there's the README I was telling you about. There's a EULA here you can read, probably should read. And then we've got basically two folders here. One is the process template, which is very straightforward, and we can upload this through our traditional, you know, Team Explorer approach. But then the other piece is this project portal, and they give you this WSP file here, which is a SharePoint template that will shape the look and feel of the project portals that get created with the new Scrum templates. And there's a README here with all the steps to go through, you know, copy this to a well-known location and then run this command line and run that command line. And, you know, unless you're a SharePoint guru, you know, this is kind of not really that obvious. So I've actually got a batch file here that I can make available to you as well. And it just knows that, oh, you put that install, put that file here in the project portal folder. So step one here is to copy that WSP file over to here where the templates are for SharePoint. And then we're going to go ahead and run this STS admin. Scroll out here because I know you're really wanting to know about SharePoint command line utilities. Add the solution, deploy the solution, and then list the solutions to make sure we see it there. So we can just run this. I copied it from the install location to that well-known SharePoint location. Okay, now we're just going through these command line tools. And the last step here is just a validation. And we can see here when we asked it to show us the different applications, there's the Microsoft Scrum one right there. So all is good in SharePointville. And let's go ahead and proceed now. So we're going to bring up Visual Studio. And let's go manage the process templates that are here. And we're going to upload. So we'll go out here to this folder that Microsoft installed, process template. And we'll select it. And we'll upload it. So, you know, no different than if you had, you know, downloaded one from the internet, or, you know, downloaded yours and customized it and uploaded a new one. Let's make it the default. Also, you'll notice, too, that there's this hyperlink now in 2010 that talks about the additional process templates. And that just takes you back to that page we were at a minute ago. So this is a pretty popular page. It's not just that people wandering the net will find it, but also people that are creating team projects might, you know, gosh, I want to learn about this Scrum thing. I want to get more Scrum in my project. Well, let's go look for additional process templates. And boom, takes them to a page, and there's the Scrum one. They can go have a look at it and upload it. I might also mention that there's, in addition to the templates page, the download page, there's also the guidance page. And this is integrated with the other MSDN library guidance that's out there. It's kind of difficult to find if you're just doing kind of the top-down from the ALM. And maybe it's just me. I don't maybe have the look and feel of this new MSDN layout mastered yet. But I bookmark this, and I return to it occasionally, especially since I've been doing a lot of slides and courseware around this. We just updated our professional Scrum developer course to use this new template. So I've been doing a lot of research in here. But this is good because they call out the individual work items and queries and reports that are Scrum specific, and they talk about, you know, how to use this in a Scrum project. So definitely want to bookmark that guidance, and I'll give you that link as well. Let's go ahead and create a team project. So what would be a Microsoft demonstration without good old Northwind? So this is going to be Northwind Traders, let's spell it correctly here, you know, with Nancy DeVolio and the gang. For those of you on the call who are too young to remember, Nancy DeVolio has been around the Northwind since the early 90s, you know, with Access. I actually remember out there looking for a website that had the Nancy DeVolio, you know, fan site. Somebody had gone through all the old versions of Access and accessed a little bitmap, you know, embedded in the employee table, and pulled out the likeness and made a list of how Nancy has changed through the different years. And 1 year she was a blonde, and 1 year she was a redhead. And good times. So here we are. We can select a process template. We've got the Scrum as the default, and again, a link back to that process template site. So it's a very popular landing place. Next, do you want to create a SharePoint site? Sure. But if you haven't seen this yet in 2010, you're not required to create a SharePoint site every time you create a team project. That got in the way of some teams in the previous versions. You can configure it and point it to a different URL strategy, or you can just tell it don't configure SharePoint at all right now. You can also change your mind after it's created and change these as well. Source control options, we'll leave it to the default, and we'll go ahead and finish. And we'll start the elevator music now as we approach our destination. And it's a good time to jump back to a couple slides. So installation, pretty straightforward. It is manual, so just be aware of that. Download the MSI, run it. Uploading the process template is cake, but the SharePoint, you know, you have to read through that text file or just gank my BAT file and use it. So what are the pieces and parts in here? Well, as you know, with team projects, they define the work item types, the queries, and the reports, among other things. So the work item types, we're going to talk about these today, but actually use them more on Thursday's webcast, if you can make it back for that. But we do have a work item type for a sprint. So as you know, in TFS, we define areas and iterations to help classify our work items. The iteration says, you know, when is that work planned? Well, we need to create a sprint work item type for every iteration node that we create, because the sprint work item type will track additional metadata, such as the sprint start, the sprint end, the sprint goal, and any sprint retrospectives. Instead of user story, like from MSF Agile or requirement, we have product backlog item. And this can be whatever you want it to be internally. It can be an epic. It can be a very large story, a small story, a use case. It can be some kind of a random, as my friend Dave Starr puts it, desirement. something that's really just got a title and a gee whiz description, but is very, very vaporous and probably will never see the light of day. But those can be in here also as PBIs. Task is like before. It's just a work item, you know, assigned to or owned by somebody that instructs them to do something. Impediment is similar to an issue, where it's something that is blocking work being done or work being done productively. Bug, you know, enough said. And test case and shared steps are nearly identical to those found in the MSF Agile software development template. Because they didn't change those so much because they're tightly coupled with the Microsoft Test Manager tool. I could see in the future, though, maybe tweaking those a bit to make the state transitions a little more scrummy. But for now, they're pretty much just as they were in MSFA. Team queries, radically different. I'll show you this here in a Team Explorer. We'll run a couple of these. You've got a built-in query that shows you all the sprints, a query that shows you the product backlog, and that will include not just PBIs, but also bug work items as well. The thinking there is whether it's something you've yet to develop, a PBI, or something that's a defect or, you know, a broken piece of working software that you thought previously was done, a bug, they both go into the same list to be prioritized by the product owner and delivered incrementally. Some tasks can be blocked. If you mark a task as blocked and link an impediment to it, it'll show up on a special block task query, and then the team or the scrum master can help, you know, remove those. Open impediments, sprint backlog. If you're not using Scrum yet, the product backlog contains PBIs and bugs, and it represents sort of the master list of requirements for the product or the software that you're building. Sprint backlog is a little more tactical. It's the one the team uses and manages in the sprint that contains the tasks. So if you run the sprint backlog query, it'll actually pull in those PBIs or bugs that you've committed to delivering that sprint, as well as the associated tasks. Which is really neat. In 2010, we now have these link types more than just, hey, I'm linked. You can link parent to child, test, you know, tested by, tests, implements, implemented by. There's a number of paired custom link types in 2010, and you'll see these relationships in these hierarchical queries really leveraging that. Test cases returns the test cases work items. Unfinished work, you know, tasks that aren't finished yet, work in progress, kind of just the reverse of that, the work that you've marked in progress. We can go through the state diagrams if you're interested. As far as reports, the interesting thing is Scrum really only cares about two reports, burn down and velocity. The burn down for a release and the burn down for a sprint, you know, tell different information. But essentially it's over time, how many, you know, PBIs, bugs, tasks are we completing? And they're really as accurate as you're going to get for predicting, you know, are we going to make our dates? And velocity then takes the PBIs that you've burned down over the sprints and shown you what that is. So we're rating PBIs in a level of effort, such as story points. And these story points are totaled up for those PBIs that you've completed in the last 10 sprints. And you can compute what your velocity is for each of those and actually kind of determine what your average velocity is. So when the pointy-haired boss walks in and says, hey, I've got these three big high-priority one things. Can you get them to me in the next sprint? You know, assuming pointy-haired boss knows what a sprint is. And you look at them and you size them and you work with the SMEs to understand the acceptance criteria. And you realize that, yeah, it fits in under your average of velocity for the last so many sprints. So why not, boss? Yeah, we'll give those to you. We can do that. We'll commit. And then there's four reports that they snuck in from the Agile template, essentially, the build success and summary, test case, and test plan. And you may have some favorite reports from some of the other templates and wonder why they're not in here. And it was pretty much just a time issue. You know, they could have probably taken all of the interesting reports from MSF Agile and changed the fields and, you know, reworked the RDL reports and got them working. But they only went with these three new ones and these four converted ones. So I know some of the user story reports are very interesting. One of my buddies is always hacking on me for, how could you ever have let this go to RTM? You know, and my answer is, I'm not Microsoft. It wasn't my decision, but I agree, that is a pretty neat report. So let me show you some of this. and then we'll come back. All right, so we've got our team project created here. First things first, if I show the project portal, you'll see kind of this new look and feel. And the new look and feel is not the supporting services error. This is, you get this, you know, after a new project's created, and I don't really want to fix it right now, so I'm just going to wave my hands and fix it the old-fashioned way by removing it. But once the, you know, the data warehouse gets updating and these reports get some data in there, these dashboards make sense. But this is what that the SharePoint template gave you, was this look and feel here with these dashboards. Notice the product backlog is front and center. If you jump over to Team Web Access, you'll have access to all the work item types. Someone told me, though, that the Scrum template doesn't work with the Microsoft Project. I haven't verified that myself, but my first reaction is, why are you using Microsoft Project, with Scrum, with a Scrum project? And his answer was, well, it's, you know, it's, let the team decide. If the team wants to use Project because they like the interface and it gives great reports, you know, I'm like, okay, that makes sense to me. Just keep them away from the, all of the traditional waterfall feeling and capabilities of Project. But just curious if anybody out there has seen that, tried to play with Project in this template. Why don't you mark yourself red if you've tried that and seen the issue? I'll assume that Alan and Nathan, you were red to begin with. So again, if any of you have run into that issue where Microsoft Project doesn't play nice with this new template, switch over to red. Okay, maybe it's just me and Nathan then. We can talk about that afterwards during the question period. Nothing really new here from the MSF Agile perspective. You know, the same sort of documents and the wiki and the dashboards are out here. I do think it's interesting, though, there's not any process guidance that's packaged anymore. If you're over here on, say, the documents process guidance, it just redirects you back to Microsoft's site. Back to that page we were on a minute ago, including the individual links as well. So in 2010 now, there's guidance on each work item type. So if you're in there creating a bug and you're confused about what goes in this field, you can click the link and go to process guidance specifically about the bug. And as you guess, it just links you back to that bug page there. So you can see these links over here under process guidance. So nothing really new there, just links back to the HTML pages. If we look at the reports, here are the big three, release, sprint, and velocity. And I should, now that I've closed that, let me jump back to some screenshots of these. It's going to be a lot better than me trying to quickly type in a lot of data and show you these. But a release burndown report sort of gives you this information here. It shows you sprints across the bottom, and then it shows you efforts up, you know, vertically. And effort isn't given any particular label. Story points, acorns, you know, if you want to think of them as days or hours or something tangible, you know, good luck with that. I try to keep teams from using anything that's, temporal, so people don't get their hopes up. I heard a great saying from one of the guys presenting at TechEd, an estimate is just that. It's neither a plan nor a commitment. It's just an estimate. And that's why I like story points so much, because it's very abstract. Someone walking by says, how long is it going to take to do that? And you say, that's going to be 20 story points. And if you told them 20 days, they're going to expect it next month. So just kind of nice. The other reports here is the sprint burndown. It's pretty much a traditional sprint burndown chart. Shows your work remaining in hours this time, and then the days across the bottom. And you can see there's also some trending line here. So an ideal trend, in progress, and to do. So it's showing you the burn down so you can see if you're going to make your end of sprint commitment. And then the velocity report, if you haven't seen one of these before, it's pretty standard. It just shows you the sprints across the bottom and then how many story points or effort you were able to deliver in that sprint. And it will look like this. You'll have, you know, peaks and valleys. Even mature teams will have, you know, a bit of a swing there. But at some point, you can draw a line through there and say, this is our average. And you can see what your trend is recently or your average overall. So you can tell the pointy haired boss if you think you can really commit to 40 hours of effort for this next sprint, when in fact your average, if I can scroll over here some more, and I think we're about as scrolled over as we're going to get. I guess I could try this, put it up here. Hey, how about that? So 34 is our average. So when we're looking at 40 hours or 40 story points of work, we might get that little inner voice saying that might be a little aggressive and I wouldn't go for it. Okay, I want to walk through some of the work item types and some of the queries here and then take some questions. So first things first, if you look at the areas and iterations, it's one of the first things that you should do when you're setting up a team project is map in your functional or logical modules or whatever areas. There are none here, which is probably a good default. And then look at what Microsoft created for default releases and iterations for sprints. They went with a two-level approach, which is pretty common. Release at the top level, and then within here are the sprints. Okay, a couple things. They generated a lot of iterations here. So we've got four releases with six nodes in there. So that's 24, that's 28 nodes here that you've got to manage. So if you're going to be doing any renaming, you know, you'll be doing a lot of that. Number two is they restart the sprint numbers. And each team can do what they want. I've talked to teams on both sides of this discussion. They like to reset it when a release goes out. Some of them would like to call that sprint 7, for example. So if that's the way you like to do things, sprint 7, you know, afterwards sprint 13 all the way down, you'll be doing some renumbering here. So how it works is you'll create your new iteration or you'll rename one, and you'll come over here to your work items, and you'll need to create or make sure that there's an accompanying sprint work item. So they've gone ahead and created here, the template did, created the 24 work items that represent the sprint level in the iteration tree. And if we open up one of these, you'll see it's nothing more than the iteration with an optional start and finish date. So maybe this one's going to be, let's say their sprint starts today. We'll go with a two-week sprint. So we're going to finish up on the 30th. Look at this. We have a field where we can put in a sprint goal. So the sprint goal is going to be to increase our social networking footprint. Nice and vague. We have this discussion in our professional Scrum developer class. You know, what is a good sprint goal? When the team commits to delivering three or four PBIs, you know, it's a bit of an art to craft a sprint goal around those PBIs. Kind of squishy so that you can maybe only deliver three of them, but still achieve your sprint goal. You know, if you wrote your sprint goal very hard, you know, mentioning each of those four PBIs that you've committed to doing by name, well, you've got to do them all now, you know, exactly as they were named to achieve your sprint goal. So mature teams will take the three or four or five PBIs and they'll wrap a little more generic term around it as the sprint goal here. But I digress. Notice there's also a bucket here to track retrospective. So when sprint one is over 2 weeks from now and we have our retrospective meeting, we can actually capture here, you know, what went well, what didn't go well, and what will we do differently. And we can attach, you know, photos of the sprint retrospective. We can attach photos of the launch party, whatever, so you can have, some success and celebrate that as well. It's not all sad path with, you know, inspect and adapt. Sometimes inspecting and adapting could be having an awesome party when you guys do things right. So agile teams are fun. So we'll save this. Now, here's a couple things that I noticed. If I come over here to my iteration and I say, gosh, you know what, we're not going to have a sprint 6. We're going to do 5 and then release 1. So no problem. We can just delete this and anything that's in there, move it up to the root. Or actually, let's move it down to release 2, sprint 1, and close that. But as you guess now, over here, I've got my release 1, sprint 6. It's just down here, orphaned. Actually, I totally lied to you. If I had moved it up to the top, it would have showed up there as a sprint that didn't really map anymore. So what you have to do is just keep this in mind. If you create a new iteration, come here and create a new work item. If you delete an iteration, you might have orphaned a work item here. And you know there's no way to actually delete work items unless you go to the command line. So you'll need to just accept the fact that it's floating around out there somewhere and not worry about it. And this until Microsoft comes out with a more first-class way of tracking, you know, sprints and start dates and end dates. And one thing I've noticed is there's no place on here to track capacity. You know, in the MSF Agile template, you've got those workbooks, which, for better or for worse, that is a bucket you can use to track team capacity, individual capacity, holidays, and, you know, people going on vacation and all of that. I would be happy in here with just a bucket that said, you know, what is your team's capacity in hours? You know, and maybe click a link to go to a document on SharePoint to help me compute that. So there's a few areas here that still need to be worked. The product backlog query, let me just show you this real quick. It's work item type equals PBI or work item type equals bug. Collectively, those two types of work items become, you know, PBIs and constitute the product backlog. So if it's not done and it's not been removed, you'll see it in this list. So this is your master list of requirements for the product. It's called the product backlog. In the current sprint, then, you've got block tasks, open impediments, you know, sprint backlog. The interesting thing about all of these is if you edit the queries, they've got the iteration path hard-coded. And that's just one of your activities you'll need to do. We're going to go over this on the next webcast, some of the standard activities you'll do, you know, when you set up TFS, when you set up a team project, when you do a new sprint, during the sprint. And one of the activities you need to do either as the sprint starts or as the sprint ends is come in here and tweak all of these. Change it from sprint 1 to sprint 2 or change to the next release so that all of your quote-unquote current sprint work item queries work. It'd be really awesome if Microsoft someday had a current iteration macro like that that just could go out and hit a set of rules and realize what today is and find the work item date range and tell me what the current sprint is. So I've given that feedback to Microsoft as well. Let's take a quick look at some of the work item types. Let's start with PBI. So it's just the title here and the iteration. This is the sprint. Maybe we could change that label. So maybe my title here is to add a Twitter feed to the homepage. And assign to, one thing, I don't have a very fleshed out team on this VM, but one thing teams like to do is maybe all of the PBIs and bugs, for that matter, are assigned to the product owner. So it's just one person that sort of quote-unquote owns all of these work items. You know, an Agile team where everybody has got equal permissions and they all have trust and shared ownership, they might not really care who's assigned to because they can pull it up in the queries. They can see what's, you know, not done and in progress. So we're going to go down here and we're just going to put in a quick user story. So as a visitor of the Northwind website, I want to see some recent tweets so that I know that the company is still in business. Title and description. In my book, that's enough to save it. Before the team should commit to delivering this, I would want to see maybe a more fleshed out description here, and I'd love to see fleshed out acceptance criteria. So let's just put in some acceptance criteria here. Shows 20 latest tweets. updates every minute. Sits to the right-hand side of the page. No current content should be overwritten, hidden, etc. So you can see here, you're almost putting in, you know, specifications or the dirty details here about what makes this a successfully implemented PBI or not. We get into all of this in our course. We go through what is good acceptance criteria, and then later when the team pulls in commits to doing this, these acceptance criteria items will then more than likely become one or more test cases, which actually become the manual tests that the team will go through and verify that, yes, I do see 20 tweets. Okay, I just tweeted over here and it's been less than 60 seconds and I see it show up over here and gosh, all the content, you know, didn't move around. I get to see everything. So that story remains intact with this template. The test cases, the shared steps, the Microsoft Test Manager, all of that works just great. Linked tasks. So this is where you would pull this PBI into your sprint when you commit to doing it, and you could link together the tasks, and that would start to form the sprint backlog. Briefly, the backlog priority is just a number. These all default to 1,000. The thinking is it's going to push them very far down the list. In the MSF Agile template, the default priority was blank, and the queries that were sorted by priority ascending, they'd all be first. So this is, you know, for better or worse, it's a way to get the new items that you've not yet prioritized, you know, out of the top 1,000 or top 100 so that they're not in the face of the team. Effort is, again, whatever abstraction you want to put in here. If you hover over this, it doesn't even tell you this should be in story points or this should be in days or this should be in hours. It's up to the team to decide, and Microsoft left it kind of squishy like that because different teams use different terms. I'm a big fan of story points, so we all pass around the poker cards and everyone holding them up, and we maybe agree that this is an 8. So our team in our world with our relative sizing, this is 8 story points to complete. Business value, again, this is just a number. There's no indication if it's, you know, dollars or sales or new customers or new visitors. Some of the feedback we got when we were putting this template together was maybe that should be a string rather than a number. So we could put down there, we want, you know, 20 new visitors each day, or we want, you know, 100 new IP addresses visiting each month. You can put that down into the description if you need to. Let me talk about bug, and we'll probably go back to the slides at that point. So the bug is very similar. It's almost like a PBI. In fact, they both sit in the product backlog, so a bug is a product backlog item per one definition. But it's also got a severity, so critical, high, medium, or low. It doesn't have a business value. This is, quote, the business value on a scale of 1 to 4. Steps to reproduce, system information, the build that it was found in, the build that it was fixed in, test cases, acceptance criteria. One thing I like about this is the acceptance criteria, it's on another tab over here. So the thinking is you can be reading it, the description or the steps to reproduce here and have the acceptance criteria here, or bring up the test cases here. You've got your 5 bullets over here and you've only got 4 test cases, so maybe you might be down one. You need to create another test case for the 5th criteria. But I like that side by side. I had never seen that before until this template came out. Pretty slick. Okay, and like I said, the next webcast we're going to spend some more time actually creating those and looking at them. So let me wrap up here with a couple things. The Professional Scrum Developer Program, I've mentioned this a couple times. Microsoft is a sponsor. It's listed on their MSDN site. The program is different. It's unique. It's training and assessment and certification for individuals working on a Scrum team with Visual Studio 2010. So it's a 5-day immersion style course where the teams will form, self-manage, and actually solve problems using these engineering best practices and actually keeping to the time boxes and keeping to their definition of done. So we're pretty hard on the teams. You know, you can't come there and goof off and expect to learn anything. I got some trainers on the phone too. I was looking through the attendee list here and I see a number of people on the line that are familiar with this, way too familiar with it. So some bookmarks. Again, I can make these available as well. I'll probably blog on our company blog here in a bit. My notes and that batch file and these links here. But I made these bit.ly so you can just write down the last six there. But these are not hard to search and find online. The Professional Scrum Developer Program, that link at the bottom there takes you to the MSDN page. And from there, you can chase down the links to go through a walkthrough of the course or back to scrum.org so you can actually find a training class or learn more about the program. And then I also run an ALM community aggregator, for lack of a better term, or a smaller term. But what I do is I read 150 feeds every hour, and I pull in all of the interesting posts from Microsoft people and other companies and random people that really blog a lot about TFS or Visual Studio or Scrum or something. And it's searchable. So if you want to pop in here and just type in Scrum, in fact, let me just show this to you. Just pop back over here. It's just communitysentient.com. If I can spell my company name. All right, so let's just do a search here on Scrum, and it'll pull back all the recent posts. So, hey, Visual Studio Scrum webcast. I wonder what those could be. But all the way back, you can see a lot of interesting things here. We do a lot with Scrum, so a lot of Accentient guys are posting about that. And also, since it is very new for Microsoft, they've been posting as well. So it's just community.accentient.com. And just to wrap up, then, our next webcast is going to be Thursday, part two. We're going to then assume that we know how to install it and what the moving parts are and a bit about Scrum, and we're going to go right into creating some product backlog items, setting up a sprint, creating the sprint backlog. I'll probably even show you some third-party tools there that can really help manage these Scrum projects a little better. I'm really a fan of the Urban Turtle product. It's great for helping not just plan, but actually tactically go through your sprints, task boards, and it does work with this template, so I'll be showing that off on Thursday as well. So I hope that everybody on this call can come back and look for a link in a few days. Chuck Sterling at Microsoft, he's going to make this webcast recording right here available, and I'll put a link back to it, probably just turn it into a WMV file and make it available for you to download and share. And if there's any questions out there, unmute, and we've got a few minutes here. I'd happy to take some questions.
Hi, this is Wendy Morgan.
Hi there.
I am a certified Scrum Master, love Scrum development, but have never worked with Team Services. Do you have a link for how I can get up to speed on TFS so that when I come back on Thursday, I'm not worried about how to use TFS and can focus on the Scrum templates?
Yeah, how do you like to learn? You like reading or watching videos or books or what?
All of the above. My Kindle is full of books. I have the quick cert videos, any way I can get my hands on it. So a tutorial with examples, a video, anything that will get me comfortable with TFS would be very helpful.
Okay. Let me think about that, and I'll put a couple links in the blog post. I'll do that later today.
Great. I'll be definitely hitting that blog because I only had a chance to work on a couple of Scrum projects, and I, as a developer, it's just my ideal. And this integration with 2010 is just, heaven on earth. So, but not.
I like your style. I like where your head's at.
Yeah, well, as a developer, Scrum rocks. We're always focused on doing something that's going to give immediate value. And I almost groaned when you said somebody was trying to use this with project. It's like the whole point is to not have to use project.
Thank you. I didn't want to come down too hard on project because, if that's your comfort level and you can create tasks and you don't go back to your waterfall tendencies and start doing Gantt charts and anyway, yeah, you get it.
Anyway, thank you. I'll look for those links.
You're welcome. Other questions?
Hey, Richard, Lexi.
Hey, Lexi.
Can you try to import the Excel spreadsheets for the team capacity and sprint planning from the Agile template into Scrum and run them?
I have not, but I talked to Aaron at Microsoft, and he said that they're broken. You'd have to tweak them.
Right. So it's just fixing the queries, I guess. Remember you were saying that team capacity is not available. You can probably easily adjust one of those existing Excel documents to do that.
You know, and that's the same with the reports that are not yet working. There's not like, it's not like you're not tracking, you know, stuff in Scrum that was in the MSF template, except for maybe, you know, hours on the tasks. It just takes some time to get in there and edit RDL and edit the MDX queries. And, you know, nobody likes to do that. I think there's like 12 guys in the world that can really understand and do that. So, it's probably the same with that spreadsheet. Yeah. You know, I'll look for an email from you with the converted spreadsheet and share it with everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Commitment. I heard it. 50 other people heard it too. Thanks, Alexi.
Yeah, no problem. I can see the time frame too. Remember, it's vague goals, right?
That's right. Your sprint goal should be very shady. So your sprint goal for that would be to improve an artifact in TFS to work better with Scrum.
That's right.
I got a whole room full of Scrum people here. And no questions. I have to start calling on people.
Actually, I do have one more question for you.
Sure.
When you install the project, have you? Can we see the reports? Are they all running for you without any problems? Or do you get any kind of a... Like when you create a new team project with a Scrum template, can you see the report right away or do you have to wait some time?
So there's that initial latency with, you know, for the warehouse to kind of get fluffed up. In fact, if I went back and ran my report now, it probably would work.
Yeah, I was just wondering if maybe like some user more friendly message would be better.
Yeah, you know, so there the good news is there's a report that's working. The bad news is completely empty.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm not sure what the latency is. I mean, I've never really put a stopwatch on it, but that's why I hate having, you know, doing new team projects and going right to SharePoint, because it looks like, you know, I'm an idiot and TFS didn't work. But in production, you'd go get a coffee and you'd go to your project portal and you wouldn't ever see that message. But demos are always compressed. So, you know, there's the hazard. All right. All right. Well, we had a couple minutes at the beginning that we ran, you know, into some technical problems. I'm glad we worked through those. I don't mind staying online. But I'm going to go ahead and probably stop the recording at this point, and we'll get that available in the next few days. Look for a link on blog.accentient.com, and I'm happy to hang out and answer any questions, but I'll bid you a good day, and I'll talk to you again in two more days. Thank you very much.
Thanks. That was really helpful.